Welcome to episode number 9 of Hot Air. My name's Greg Esser. This week I have the distinct pleasure of being alongside two new Breeze signees, Markham Schaffner and Alan Kolick. Before we get too far down the road, I'm going to give the mic to you just for 1 second. You've got one magical moment here to make a first impression. You only get one. Markham, what do you got for us?
Don't look at me, Greg.
It's going to be hard in this tiny little room we're in. And Alan, what do you first impression?
Hi. It's nice to see you tonight.
And we're off and running here at Hot Air. Before we get too far, I'd like to thank Broke Royals for playing that entry music. I'd like to thank the Breeze 2015 sponsors. That's Papa John. That's Atlas Brew Works. That's Kellogg Conference Center. That is the Big Board down on H Street, a bar not far from all three of our houses. Oak Creek Apparel and Waveborn Sunglasses. A good sextuplet, I think is what you call six sponsors altogether.
I feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to know, first of all, is just about you guys. I played with, mostly against you guys, I think, over the years, but I'm going to be seeing a lot more of you in 2016 as new members of the Breeze. Tell me a little bit about your playing backgrounds. Mark, you want to go first here?
Sure thing. So I guess I started playing in late 2005, so coming up on my 10-year introduction to
Is there a reunion for that?
I hope so. I think so. I think somebody will get in contact with me soon.
So who's that first team you'll have to have a reunion with?
So I went to high school in Nashville, Tennessee, played with the University School of Nashville. Our team was called Brutal Grassburn. I came in, I think, about 8 years after they won a championship. They won the high school national championship back when it was nationals. Since then, it's split into Easterns and Westerns, and then into, you know, Southerns, Northwesterns, Southwesterns, or wherever they are now.
A long legacy of college ultimate.
Yeah, long legacy of success there. But I joined a good program. We had a great coach who taught us that hucking was by far the most important part of any game, that dumping wasn't anything that you should be practicing, and I think that stuck with me through most of my game. So I played a year and a half in high school, went to high school Easterns both years, ended up captaining my senior year. Then I went to Claremont, California, where I played with the Claremont Brain Eaters for 4 years. Got to play with some fantastic talent. A lot of guys who are on Boost right now in California.
A team that's been a couple times to Nationals.
Yep, they've made Nationals. They make noise. They're a team that no one loves playing. That's for sure in terms of they can take a swing at anyone.
Yeah.
I know that in their sectionals and regionals games, they'll give revolver fits sometimes. Though they haven't yet beaten them, I think they've got talent, and they take swings for sure.
Cool.
And then also one of the most transcendent athletes I've ever played with, his name's Michael Stout, who came to Truck Stop a few years before me and played with Alan, actually. This is a guy who can throw down a two-handed tomahawk dunk pretty easily.
Kind of one of
those
big man.
Yeah, one of those true athletes to play ultimate. So it was sweet for me, young freshman. I had big throws back then, but they were even floatier than they are now. So just kind of throwing up jank at the end zone and let this monster go get it. So that was a good first year introduction to college ultimate.
Sure.
Played for my next 3 years, so every year in school I played, and it got a little bit harder. Our team changed up its makeup a little bit, and we regressed somewhat substantially. But then by the end, we got Tommy Lee, who's this fantastic player. He now
plays give me a happy ending with you and Tommy Lee.
Exactly. Well, Tommy Lee is all about happy endings, as anyone who knows him can attest. He played Junior Worlds. He came in, fantastic talent, great leader, great competitor. And my senior year, his junior year, we were part of a team that went and won the D3 National Championships. So that was a great way to like finish my college career in the game with a bunch of guys that I love on a team that was great.
So then after you finished up there out in California, how did you find DC? Where'd you go afterwards?
So I was actually home in Nashville for a few months after that, played for a team based out of Tennessee called Tennessee, which was a great open team.
Another team that's been to Nationals.
Yes, we snuck our way into Nationals 2 years in a row. I was a part of both of those teams, and ended up learning a lot because great group of guys, but we were a little bit under firepowered, I guess you would say, in terms of fighting, you know, chain and double wide.
It's a tough region to be in.
Yeah, back when chain and dub were in the same region, that was a fight for third, really, if you weren't on one of those squads. So we were part of that and ended up getting it 2 years in a row. So it was pretty nice to go to Nationals and be taking swings at teams like Boston, who I think we lost to by, you know, two or three a year they made the finals, or, you know, losing by one or two to Ring, who weren't quite as good then as they are now, but just to test our feet against them, to be, you know, late college, early post-college, and feel like I could hang with some of these guys. So I think that was an important development piece for me and Nikki Spiva. So he actually started in the same month that I did in high school.
Okay.
And we get to cut our teeth against a lot of the same teams.
Wow, and so that's cool to have such a close relationship with another guy that's become so elite.
Yeah, very much so. I think we've been friends since first grade when he punched me in the face at his birthday party.
It was friendship after that.
It was. I think actually he got put in timeout, and then after that we've been best friends for a pretty long time. Yeah. And a quick interlude, so I skipped one team that I love maybe more than any other team, just as much as any other team, was my sophomore year in college. We had a mixed team that we played with during the summer in Nashville. Bunch of dudes like Tyler Conger, Robert Runner, Jake Wright, Craig Stewart, and a bunch of talent like my younger sister, Jessie, who's become one of the more, you know, famous college players.
Something we should talk about, too, because she's just about to go on tour here, right?
Would love to, yeah. No, they're about to start playing tonight, actually.
Awesome.
They play their first game in Seattle.
So when you have listened to this podcast, probably two games in or so.
Yeah, but hopefully they will have just crushed Riot and, you know, gotten on their way, or at least showcasing the sport of women's ultimate, which is just as exciting. Especially when Jessie's playing. You see those hucks, you see her running, she's about as good as it gets. So that was a mixed team I played with called Guillermo y Compañía, and then that loops me, if I jump back to Tanasi, I moved to DC, and then I've been on truck for the past 3 years. Learned a lot. This has definitely been the highest caliber team I've played with in terms of, like, just straight-up talent.
Because truck this year is fully loaded.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's been nice to have these stepping stones up to where we are right now in terms of cutting my game a little bit, trying to become a more efficient player, a little bit more adept at what elite ultimate players need to be in terms of, you know, making the right throws, making the right choices, being a little tighter on defense. So yes, this year truck is definitely gearing up in a nice way. I'm excited about it.
Cool. Why did you find DC though? Why was it truck was the draw, or was it so many of us come here for jobs? What brought you to DC really?
So it was just the job, actually.
Okay.
I knew a few people in the area due to Ultimate, but I was applying to jobs in New York and San Francisco and DC, and the first job that I got that I liked was in DC.
Okay, so formed and then kind of now 3 years in have kind of formed and helped mold the program around that crew of people that have ended up in the nation's capital.
Yeah, and then before I moved here, I was on an email thread with a bunch of DC players, and Alan used a bunch of exclamation marks in all of his emails, so I knew it would be an exciting place.
Instant win.
Yeah, instant win.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so let's go over to that other guy. Let's talk a little bit about Mr. Kolick's background. And Markham, I have to apologize. I always try to give this ground rule up front. I'm always an endless search for the wittiest member of the Breeze. And so if into future answers we could work some wind puns in, you know, stuff like the example I always throw out is gusto. It's just a good one. And if you can come to something like that, you know. And Alan,
so
I'll leave.
These have to be breeze-related puns.
Breeze, wind-related puns.
So I will say that you've got two of the wittiest members of Truck Stop right now. We make an all-witty team every year. I've been on it for the past 4 seasons, and Alan is always an honorable mention or close to
it. I'm always on the fringe. Salmi's trying to kick me off.
Yeah. You're always on the fringe there?
Yeah. Yeah, Eric Salmi. Eric Salmi and I always feud over that last spot.
They've got a Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas thing going at this point where, you know, a little bit of bad blood, but they're both two of the best of their generation, so we'll see how it takes out.
All right, well, we'll see how the rest of this podcast shapes up, having a late informed you of the rules, of the house rules.
Would Breeze Nuts be an inappropriate pun for this show?
I think Breeze Nuts will play. Do you want to ask me, like, a funny question first, though, before you say it?
I think that's just all I had. That's as far as I got at that point.
Okay. Wittiest member of the Breeze.
There we go.
There we are.
I mean, currently, we only have four, so it's not that tough.
Right.
Alan in a distant second. Ben doesn't say enough words.
Although I have a full podcast of Ben Fang saying words that would argue otherwise.
That's shocking to me, actually.
Yeah.
He says more
words. Would you say it would blow you away?
Yes. It would breeze blow me away.
There we are. But Alan, tell me a little bit about kind of where you come from, where you started Ultimate.
Yeah, I guess my story is a little bit more of a straight line than Markham's. I actually, the first time I touched a frisbee was on my cul-de-sac when I was a little kid.
Which was where?
I was probably in Arlington, Virginia.
In Arlington, Virginia.
Yep.
A local boy.
Right outside of D.C., yep.
Bound to be a fan favorite.
So I grew up about five blocks away from the Rainses, who, like the Essers, were a Frisbee name.
Referring to my own storied history here, but this isn't about me, Alan. This isn't about me.
No, I know it's not about you. The Rainses had a lot of potential, but none of them play anymore, I don't think. So anyway, Drew, Chase, and Nate, me and my brother Bert, who also doesn't play Frisbee, would get together with our parents, and we would have little ultimate games on the street. And so that was the first time I played. I would only throw right-handed backhands.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
Sure.
You're required to, whenever you mention Bert, also indicate that he is, in fact, the prettiest man in the Kolick family, because Alan claims he's the prettiest man in Ultimate, but you have to supersede that with Bert being the prettiest man in the family, because it's just the simple truth.
Okay, wow. So, I mean, is there a rebuttal to that? That sounds like fighting words. I don't know if this is going to turn into a wrestling match by the end of it.
I will say that was never a personal claim of mine. That was a Daniel Cantor claim from the past. I always tried to go for prettiest woman in Ultimate.
All right.
We'll see where that goes.
I have seen you, Alan, rock the man bun, which seems to perfectly straddle that line of both most handsome and most beautiful woman in Ultimate.
Oh yeah, and it's coming back.
2016, you heard it here first, Alan in a man bun.
I actually tried to put it up tonight. Hairs were falling around my ears a little bit, but it'll get there.
Okay.
Sadly, the man bun is returning, and I think it might beat 2016 to the punch.
Oh boy. The winner man bun. Okay, so that's a lot of good context on the Kolick family too, which I didn't know we'd be getting to, but I'm glad we went there. I really am. But maybe we should get back to Alan's Frisbee story.
And then kind of lost touch with it until high school, and I ended up quitting the soccer team and the golf team after my freshman year because I was a little bit disenchanted and joining Frisbee. So that was 2002 or 2003.
So what drew you to Ultimate in high school then as opposed to golf and
honestly, I was a little burnt out from soccer, and I also was in the marching band, so I was looking for something that was a little bit less of a time commitment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Funny how that worked out.
I didn't really get into Frisbee that much in high school. I always found it an interesting sport, but I don't think I really fell in love with it until college.
Okay, so where did college take you then? If that were those were the magical years.
So I went to William & Mary, and the first year we were actually pretty good. William & Mary is a small school, so it's hard to get athletic guys and consistent teams. But 3 years prior to when I was there, 2002 through 2004, they had gone to nationals. So the seniors my freshman year were really good. We ended up being the 3 seed at regionals the year that Florida won, with Kirk Gibson and Tim Garrett. And Georgia, I think, was in the semifinals, and they lost to Wisconsin. Then after my freshman year, all of our seniors left, and we had, I think, like 3 seniors and juniors. So I kind of got to do what I wanted. And,
sure.
And that's when I fell in love with the game.
Okay. Cool.
I got to just experiment, and I leveled up, like became a much better player.
A much stronger sorcerer.
Mm-hmm. Stronger sorcerer.
Leveling up and all. So then tell me this, how'd you find Truck Stop?
I moved back to D.C. after graduating from William & Mary. I found a job here, and then I played Truck Stop the first summer, and I've played ever since.
Okay, so how many years on Truck Stop then is that?
So 2009 was the first year that
okay.
I played, so I guess this is the 6th, if I'm doing the math right.
Seems like reasonable math.
Yeah.
Great math.
So let's stop talking about the past. let's talk about what's on everyone's mind and a little bit of the future here. Because maybe 2 weeks ago, we might not have been sitting in this room. But now we are all joined by the franchise of the Breeze, as you guys are. The ink is now dry on a fresh set of contracts because you'll be playing in the ADL next year. So we can switch the order. We can go back the same way. Tell me what drew you to the ADL. What drew you to the Breeze?
Well, I was promised at one point during this podcast that we'd get to gush about the Breeze ownership, Don, and I feel like this would be a great time for
the moment has arrived.
Yeah, the moment is here. Not many people know who he is because they haven't had the chance to meet him. But I would say that probably the biggest draw was the conversations that I was able to have with him and players that have interacted with him. There's a good vision for this franchise. There's a good team chemistry that we've got going based on what little interaction we've had at this point. But I think that anyone who sits down with him, has a beer, hears him talk about what he thinks the Breeze can do, what he can do with this team.
What he thinks about professional Ultimate, in my mind. Yeah,
what he thinks about the league, what he thinks about where Ultimate is going, it will be very, very interested in what he's got to say. So that was first and foremost. Second was just talking to people who were on the team last year, seeing some of the games. I think that there is a lot to be done in this league. I think there are more teams to play. It's pretty interesting to be able to, you know, how many teams are in the East? Seven?
There are seven teams in the East.
See six different teams, six different sets of 20 faces a game. I think just has a lot more
variety.
A lot of dynamic motion to it. And I think that's one thing that drew me to the game initially was that kind of variety that you can pick out. So it became an easy choice. We both almost signed last year. And after this past season, I think it became clear to both of us that we wanted to give it a shot. I think it's easy to come to a decision not just based on logic, but based on what like your heart and stomach are telling you, and that's where mine were, and I think that's where Alan was too. So I went there, and he did too.
Okay, Alan, am I gonna get a ditto out of you, or you got something to add to that?
Yeah, mostly ditto, I would say. I went to, I think, three Breeze games this year, and I went to maybe two or three last year, and I was really impressed with the strides that Don and everybody else, all of the interns, all of the other players that had been working on it made, in terms of putting together a really great product. And that, along with a lot of what Markham said, was a big draw for me.
Okay. Let me ask you this. One of the things that you mentioned, Markham, was about you heard from the existing Breeze players, some of your former teammates. You're particularly a pretty traveled guy, it sounds like, playing for many different teams and colleges across the country and all the way back to high school in Tennessee. Who were some of the teammates that you're excited maybe to get a chance to play with on the field again, and what were you hearing from some of these guys? You got Glenn Poole, Chip Cobb, Duke played on the Breeze this year, of course, Ben Fang, Brad Scott. You know, are these the guys you're referring to?
Exactly. Those were the five that first popped to mind, and honestly, they all were saying very similar things. I'd add in other guys like Chris Kotcher, who played for the Breeze last year.
Sure.
And also jumped a truck that year, who's a very good friend.
Top three in D's in 2014 Breeze, Chris Kotcher.
Yeah, I'd say he's one of the best players in the state of New York, and we were very sad to lose him this season. I think he brings a lot to the game and is one of the more interesting matchups, probably one of the more underrated players in Elite Ultimate at this point in time. But he, as well as those five that you listed, all said that the team was fun, that the coaching was great, that the ownership was great, that the fan experience that they were able to be a part of as players was just fantastic.
Uh-huh.
And in the games that I watched, it all seemed to be true. I think that there was something special about the team. Their jerseys look cool. They get to play with the Discraft, and they seem to have a lot of fun out on the field. I'd like to talk a little bit about Brad, because he's somebody that I haven't known quite as long as the rest, but he's been, apart from his fashion style, which is fantastic, just a very interesting player to watch for me, because as Don said in one of our earlier meetings, Brad is a springer. That guy can jump. He's maybe a little bit newer to the game than some, but he's got the composition of a player that is going to get you D's. He's going to make plays. He can jump really high, and he seems to understand the game. And those are some of my favorite players to watch develop and to play with, to throw hucks to and watch them go run faster and jump higher than the people that they're on. So I think it's blood like that and the words that are coming out of all those guys' mouths that have made it an easy transition on my end.
Got it.
Oh, and on the Brad Scott front, I will add that we saw him 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago.
What was he wearing?
Critical. At first night of flight,
I was on his team this year, I think.
Nice. Indoor tournament.
Wait, was he wearing some sort of orange or something or other?
He was wearing these orange short shorts.
Short.
Really short shorts.
Short, short. Not a lot to the imagination.
No.
Yeah, just a nice cutoff t-shirt. And I saw him just lay out for a frisbee that I didn't think he was going to come close to. And I said to whoever was standing next to me, it was probably Wodatch or Markham, that he was going to be really good.
Yeah.
And we talked to him after the game and tried to get him to come out to truck stop tryouts last year, so 2014. And I don't think he ended up making it out, but he's...
probably playing spike ball.
Yeah, he's a heavy spike ball player. He also might have been thrift shopping.
Yeah, I mean, he's a busy guy, so I definitely understand.
All right, so there, from the first moment you saw him diving across the Pittsburgh turf, you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Cool.
For me.
So let me talk about this just a little bit as we're burning right through the agenda here. But you mentioned kind of some anecdotes and some of these guys you were hoping played truck stop eventually. Give me a word or two, if you would, about what's in store for truck stop this year. We talked just a little bit there at the beginning. You guys have a loaded roster, but what tournaments are you going to be at? And kind of give me the mentality of camp going into what I think is going to be a fantastic club season for you guys.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good so far. I mean, I don't want to say anything and jinx it, but this is definitely, out of the six seasons that I've played with Truck, this is by far the most talented and probably the most caring and passionate Truck Stop team that I have been a part of. I think that everybody sort of has a common goal that we want to try and win a national championship this year. And whether or not we get there, we will see, but people are really putting in a lot of effort, and it's not just talent, it's, having two track workouts a week, having most practices, or most weekends, we have double practices, so we're really trying to put in the work to get there.
Nice.
It's exciting stuff.
Yeah, that sounds it. So let's bring it back to the AUDL to close out here, and I want to ask you guys, right now we are in the midst of the postseason. We've got four teams headed out to play in the San Jose Major League Soccer Stadium in 2 weeks. It'll be on ESPN3, and those four teams are the Toronto Rush, the San Jose Spiders, the Raleigh Flyers in Madison.
Radicals. I've been following.
You got it.
I'm all about it.
So let's talk about some predictions. These maybe aren't teams that you guys saw this year in their current composition, but these are players certainly that you guys have played against in all sorts of forms. Where's smart money going into these AUDL playoffs?
So what are the matchups? It's San Jose v. Toronto and Raleigh v. Madison.
That's right.
My gut would say Raleigh would win and then lose in the championship to probably San Jose, but
you'll be held to these bets.
Yeah, I'll take it. $1 on each. but I'll put in
I don't know if you get banned from the league for talking like that.
Oh man, I feel like Pete Rose already.
Yeah, sure.
But maybe East Loyalty. I think Toronto could pull off an upset. And in which case, I think a Toronto rally game would be a little bit better than a San Jose game, and it'd be a toss-up.
Cool. Alan, where are you putting your faith in these AUDL playoffs?
I want to say that Raleigh will win. And that's mostly just because I have more friends on Raleigh than any of the other teams.
A loyal man to the end.
But, I think a Raleigh-San Jose final, and I think Raleigh's going to pull off the upset.
All right.
Nice.
It's a North Carolina type year.
It's gutsy.
UNC won.
Sure. based on the college season, of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's most of the things I wanted to talk about on today's podcast. Any other kind of big things in your lives that are coming up that we better get out to the media here going into the off season?
Alan's Luna Lovegood to my Ginny Weasley should another podcast.
Yeah, those are, actually, I was going to ask you guys that if you identify with any Game of Thrones character, who else would it be?
So that was our Harry Potter off the cuff Game of Thrones. Alan, who would you say? I think you're more of like a.
I only watched the last season, so.
I think you're from Highgarden. You're kind of a Tyrell. You're a Marjorie Tyrell to my Sansa Stark. Do you think that holds up?
I don't know enough about it.
I think you just want to agree in this situation.
Yeah, I think that's a yes.
Let me ask you this, Alan, is that there's an August 8th clinic going on in Silver Spring for some youth. And I've been told that you're going to be making an appearance there and teaching people the basics of throwing and some other ultimate skills. Is this correct?
That's right. I am going to be teaching everyone how to throw left-handed.
Oh, perfect.
It's the only thing that's made me good throughout the years.
I don't know if folks will get the inside. The inside.
Middle school, that's early enough to teach everyone.
Sure. So you too can get in on that that power move to learn those non-dominant throws at a young age.
But yeah. But anyone...
That's what you stress in your coaching.
Well, you know, it's all a developing practice.
Sure. Okay. well, good. Any other final thoughts? I'm gonna bid everyone farewell from Hot Air, and thanks Markham, thanks Alan, thanks Papa John's, thanks Atlas Brewworks, thanks Kellogg's Conference Center, Oak Creek Apparel, and our community sponsor Waveborne Sunglasses. Tune in to future episodes of Hot Air this off season. We'll bring them to you intermittently, and tweet us at the DC Breeze.